Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our This or That podcast with me, Rob.
And me, Dahlia.
Hey, Dahlia, how's it going?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing really good. Anything new, exciting, joyous for our listeners?
In my life?
Ideally.
Well, for me, this is exciting. I made a new database for my fountain pens, which excites me. I don't know about other people, but
I think everyone listening to the podcast just like leaned in a bit closer to their phones and computers. Like, what, really? No way.
No, the opposite. They're probably like, I'm sorry, what?
Let's discuss this at length in detail.
Okay.
Tell us about your pens. I know you love your pens.
Multiple pens, and it's hard to keep track of them sometimes, like, because I have multiple inks, hundreds of inks. So which ink is in which pen? Which one is in use? When did you last clean it? When did you buy it? Which nib has it got in it? Mm. Is it extra fine? Is it medium? Blah, blah, blah. Some people listening will be like, I'm sorry, what's a fountain pen? What are you talking about?
It's a fancy pen.
It's a fancy pen. Apparently in Korea, I saw a YouTube short. Obviously, that's where millennials get their information, sorry. A fountain pen translates as a 10,000-year pen, I think.
Ooh, I like that.
Which is cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What do you tend to use your pens for most? Do you like write a diary with them or just to-do lists and stuff like that?
All of the above. I mean, I don't really write diaries. I do write things down a lot. I do love digital databases as well. I tend to use both. Even though a lot of these digital stuff, you know, it's there to make our lives easier, sometimes I find it actually not that easy because you have to, you know, unlock your phone, find the right app. Which app did you write it in? Is it on your Notes app? Is it on Notion? And not get distracted by your email and everything else. So sometimes I find just having a notebook on my desk, usually to write stuff down that comes to mind immediately. I don't want to forget. For example, a big one is writing down, reply to this person, because, you know, when you read something, like especially on WhatsApp, there's no markers unread. So I'll just write down, like, reply to this person. So, yeah, I use it mostly for to-do lists, I'd say.
Okay, lovely, lovely. And what is it about, let's say, I have a completely normal pen. I don't have any fancy pens. What is it that makes you enjoy fountain pens more than, you know, you can write with a completely basic pen? Why is a fountain pen so much better?
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, they're beautiful. Some of them really are beautiful. You can get, like, you know, gold trim, and they have amazing patterns like tortoiseshell or pink or blue. They feel nicer, they're heavier, they're more substantial. But the main thing is the practicality. I actually started writing with fountain pens because those biros, they just kept breaking, first of all, because they're plastic. They kept running out of ink. So you can refill a fountain pen and have it for life. So that's the main reason. And also the writing experience is 100 times nicer. It's so much smoother. The nib literally glides over the, you know, on the page much, much more smoothly. So physically, it's a great experience.
I don't know this myself, but one thing I had heard is that when you write physically, you tend to have much more of a connection to the words you're writing than if you were typing them. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And apparently, scientifically, we actually are more likely to remember things if we write them because of the way that our brain processes it. And I heard someone say something really interesting, which is really true. He said that when he types, it's almost too fast, meaning because you're able to type super quickly, your brain doesn't have any time to filter through what you're saying. So it's kind of just like a brain dump. But when you're writing, your hand physically writes slightly slower than typing. So it gives your brain time to actually filter through what you're saying. And it ends up being making more sense instead of just being a stream of consciousness. Which is interesting.
Very nice indeed. Wonderful.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about pens.
Oh, certainly not. Not at all. What are we here to talk about?
Kind of related to our topic, because fountain pens is infamously a very expensive hobby. And today we're kind of talking about money, right?
Sort of. So we have a this and we have a that. Our this is investing money for the future. And our that is spending money because YOLO.
You only live once.
Exactly. So I can't really guess which you will go for, because strangely I would think that you would pick both. Mm. So what's your view on these two?
I do find this really tough. As usual, I can appreciate both because I'm quite an extreme person. I can be quite all or nothing. And to be honest, I'm good at both. That's the truth. Like, there have been times in my life where I've saved nearly every penny, been extremely frugal, really, really saved a lot of money. And there have been times in my life where I've spent a lot on stuff that some people would think is a little bit useless, like fountain pens. So I do, as usual, I think it's all about striking a balance, having intentions. I do think that mindlessly, aimlessly saving or spending is not good. Like, some people, I think that being frugal, no matter what, meaning spending as little money as possible, is the best way forward. I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm.
Because spending as little money as possible doesn't always actually save you money. Like, you know, a classic example is investing more in good quality things instead of having to buy it twice when it breaks, which we've all been through, right?
Yes, of course.
So I do definitely think we should save money. Definitely. I don't believe that you should just not save anything because, you know, you might die tomorrow. That's a bit ridiculous. But there's no point saving if it actually affects your quality of life and you're not having any fun and, you know, you don't have anything nice in your life. So yeah, you got to be intentional. And if you're going to spend your money, know that you're doing it for a good reason and that you actually have a budget. It's not mindless. It's not aimless.
This is something I had heard, was that we often say that people that spend all of their money, maybe they're, you know, perhaps a bit obsessed with money, or maybe they have a bit of a problem with money or something. But one thing I'd heard is you could equally say the same about the person who never spends money.
Yeah, exactly.
They are thinking about money just as much as the people who are spending it all the time.
If not more.
Yeah, potentially more.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. So there tends to be, well, I guess I was going to say there tends to be like a stigma, like a well-known downside of both of these, but I suppose it's a little bit more fashionable to spend money than to save it.
It's true. And I think it depends how you do it. Like, I always use my sister as a great example. My sister's very frugal. She doesn't spend money if she doesn't have to. She doesn't she doesn't indulge. She's not an impulse buyer. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't buy new clothes often. However, when there's something that she really wants, she'll go full throttle and, you know, really invest in something really, really expensive because she knows she's going to use it for life. And I think that's a really great way of balancing.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's always one piece of advice, I think, from someone who's quite famous about giving money advice, is that he says, spend a lot on the things that actually really do make you feel happier or do really bring something good to your life. And the things that they don't really actually have much of an effect on you, then, to be honest, cut the spending back to the bone. And the example that he gives for that is he loves being in hotels when he's traveling. So he will spend a lot of money on going to an absolutely incredible hotel, but he doesn't care about his car. So he drives a 15-year-old car that is, you know, not in very good condition.
Exactly. And I think that's why I do think it's sometimes a bit silly when people comment on other people's finances, because you never know how complex it can be. Like, for example, just because you spend lots of money in one area doesn't mean that you're spending it everywhere else. Like, for example, I spend a lot of money on things like pens, and other people might spend a lot of money on things like, for example, guitar equipment. But, you know, I don't really eat out that much because I don't know why. I'm just not really in the habit that much. I don't drink out. I don't really use public transport that much because I don't need to, because I live in a city centre. So my finances really, you know, it really goes down. So actually it balances out in the end. If I were frivolous, you know, in every aspect of my life, that would be. And then it's a bit morbid, but I had a friend whose dad worked his whole life, you know, work, saved everything, very frugal. And he was, you know, it's all about the pension, you know, like setting himself up for his future, having a great pension. And he worked, and then he retired and died. And apparently that's really common. Not very common. That can happen where people working so hard to save for the future that, you know, and that was a good reminder for me that it's not, saving isn't always, you know, it's not the be all and end all. It doesn't guarantee anything.
No. I mean, there are lots of, I mean, everyone knows there are lots of really good perspectives about this. One for our listeners, if they're interested, there's a very good book that's called Die With Zero.
Die With Zero.
Yeah, written by, I believe his name is Bill Perkins. And it's, some people agree with the book, some people don't agree with the book. I'm not totally sure of my opinion, but what he's focused on is if you do have some money saved, then absolutely do spend it. And for example, he would recommend that you travel a lot and spend a lot of money on travel in your 30s, for example, and when you're younger. His argument for that is that if you have meaningful experiences when you're young, you can enjoy those memories for longer.
That's true. I suppose listeners may or may not be familiar with the phrase, you can't take it with you to the graveyard, meaning you can't take your money to the graveyard.
Yes.
I mean, it's also, to get political, a bit of a class thing, isn't it? Because sometimes I do wonder, like, if I were really, 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 really rich and I died, I would have lots of money left over, and that if I had children, it would go to my children. And you're kind of determining a child's future because they're always going to have some money to rely on. And I do wonder whether there are some very rich people who've chosen not to do that for the sake of the child. Ironically, it would actually make them more selfish.
Yes, absolutely. There's a case of someone, I suppose he's a tiny little bit famous in the West. He's called Peter Jones, and he's a person who owns many different businesses and invests in businesses, one of these kind of people. And so he has a lot of money. And but for his children, the amount of money that they receive when he passes away, it's conditional on what their lifestyle is. So for example, they will receive, I don't think this is a perfect way to do things, but he says, for example, that they will receive more money from his trust fund if they do a job that is meaningful but low paid, such as being a nurse, for example.
Do they know this before he dies?
They know this, yes.
Interesting.
I mean, if I know it, his children definitely know it. Yeah. So that's his idea, that he doesn't want his children to be, we would use the word spoiled, or, you know, to not work hard, to not find, you know, meaning through challenging themselves.
Interesting. This silly thing to say, but it reminds me of a storyline in EastEnders where somebody left all of their money to a cat sanctuary. And the other day I saw something, I think it was Hugh Hefner or something, left millions to some dog or some cat or something like that. And I was like, how his children feel about that?
Well, there was so two small stories. There is one case of, I think they were a billionaire or definitely a multi-millionaire, and they gave none of the money to their children. They gave it all to charities in Africa. So that was one way. One other story, which is a bit more interesting, and I don't actually know the end of it, is a friend of mine who I've kind of lost touch with, they used to work in a supermarket in the UK, and one of their customers was elderly, had no family, and didn't have any close friends either. So he said, "You're always so nice to me when I come into the supermarket. I'd like to leave all my money to you."
God, I've been going to the wrong supermarkets.
I was gonna say, you missed out. And also when he discussed this with me, it was a large amount of money, a significant sum.
We're talking hundreds of thousands?
We're talking millions.
Whoa.
I don't know how the story ended. I don't think he ended up accepting it.
Yeah.
Or the person perhaps changed their mind.
I don't think I could accept it. Just not even morally. It would just feel, you know, money changes things. You never know what the repercussions could be. I mean, you've seen multiple storylines, film plots, right, where that happens, and then that guy's son comes back and is like, actually, that money was meant for me. And then they threaten them and blah, blah, blah. I don't think I always think that if that thing, freak thing happened where for some reason a huge amount of money fell into my lap even I don't think I would take it. I just would feel, it would feel tainted.
I'm just looking at the time on the episode. We're actually like basically out of time. And I have so much more to say about
me
this.
Too.
And I didn't even say yet to be, just for the listeners, my view is saving's probably better for many reasons, but YOLO has its place. There we go.
Yeah.
So that is the end of another episode of our podcast. We hope everyone enjoyed it. Hope everyone is having a lovely day. And we'll see you all again soon. See you later, Dahlia.
Indeed. Take care. Have a lovely week and save some money.
Good advice. Good advice. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.